Hey guys, if you live in Austin, Texas, you know that summer is upon us. And if you have a rock and roll band and you're rehearsing in your garage, it's going to be a little bit too much too soon for you to be rehearsing out there. The heat's going to get extremely hot. Or what if you're rehearsing in your house and you're getting shaken down by your neighbors or your mom and dad or your husband or wife or something? Tired of you practicing in your house all the time? Well, check it out. Head on down to South Austin to Space Rehearsal and Recording. It's a uniquely Austin experience, preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists. Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles from downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, wide-lit gallery corridors, and excellent parking. They have the space to help you with your creative endeavors. Join the customers that range from local and international musicians, acting troupes, yoga practitioners, performance artists, and yes, I've told you many times, me, Skyrocket has a room there and we rehearse there all the time. Listen, those rooms are soundproof. Those rooms are nice. They're still quasi-new. It's only been open for like a little over a year or something now, right? At least that's how long we've been there, right? A little over a year, maybe a year and a half or something. I don't know. Rooms are still new. We have a window. It's soundproof. It's nice. People there are nice. Call 512-448-9518. Tell them that How Did I Get Here sent you, and you will get one free hour off of rehearsing. Okay? SpaceATX.com. 512-448-9518. Tell them How Did I Get Here sent you. Get a free hour. All right? Get to practicing. Space, rehearsal, and recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Howdy.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. Before I get to anything, I just want to thank all of you for all your kind emails last week concerning my grandfather. He passed away. It was the last show I put out. Sorry I didn't put out a show on Friday, but it was his service, and I was in Houston all week and just kind of, you know, with family and stuff. So I want to thank you very much. He was a great man. He meant very, very, very much to me. I cannot tell you how much he meant to me. And it meant a lot to me to be able to spend that time with my family as well. So thank you all very, very much for your emails. Okay. I have a great show for you today. The artist Daisy is here. She has a debut EP called Doobie Doo out. She wrote the title song with my friend Steve Poult, who you know from the show. But she is fantastic. She's got a great story. She was in social work for a long time, helping people that had survived domestic violence and such, and then kind of left that world to become a songwriter and a singer and a performer. And now she's out doing that. So pretty interesting story and a fantastic person with a great debut album. I think that you'll like her music a lot. So stay tuned. We have a great conversation. Let me tell you what is going on with me. As I said, my grandfather's service was Friday. After the service, I drove back here to play with Skyrocket, and we played at Steiner Ranch Friday night. And let me tell you, man, spending a week with your family after something like that and then showing up at a show on a Friday night with a very restless crowd, and then we had to go on an hour later than we were scheduled to, and that did not sit well with the people there. And let me tell you, the natives got restless, and the natives got drunk. And there was crazy, like, there was kids there and stuff because it's outside and it's like a restaurant place and people go there to watch the sunset. So as soon as we did get started, the dance floor was packed and people were having a great time. The first set, there's kids there and there's kind of families and people are drinking. They're getting their drink on. It's Friday night. They're in their neighborhood. Some people took a giant bus there, like they were called the boomer crowd. Obviously, baby boomers. So, you know, so they're all out there. They're doing it. And then After the first set, we take a little break, come back for the second set, and it seems like everyone had taken some kind of weird, not even ecstasy, they had taken some weird insano drug. And there was one lady that had been talking to me throughout the night, all of a sudden was in like this real sexual dance with this dude, like totally humping on the dance floor, and then pointing at me and telling me she likes me during the sex dance, which was weird. I don't know what, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means. Does that mean, hey, I'm into two guys. I want you and this guy to come with me to a place, a secluded location, and we can do this thing. And so then there was another person that came from Houston to surprise. I don't think she came to surprise me, but she came, and we had kind of made out one time. But man, then she was kind of like, I'm really disappointed. You don't want to hang out. My grandfather's funeral was that morning, and I was fucking out of it, man. I hadn't slept much, but anyway, so let me get back to the show. Second set, this lady's doing the sexual dance thing and telling me she likes me. Then there's this other lady that comes up every couple of songs and is like, let me get up and sing. And that's weird. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? She was in no shape to sing. But I know what she was thinking. There's those people. I've been around people. I can do that. I can do that better than her. I can do that better than him. He's just standing there shaking the tambourine and singing and stuff. I can do that. Yeah, she was that kind of lady. So you're having to stop people from getting on stage, and then the people were getting their sex on. It was crazy. Absolute insanity. I went home afterwards and went to sleep, and I pretty much, when I wasn't playing this weekend, I pretty much was just kind of sleeping. And we played Saturday night at the Roost. It was a much calmer crowd. A fun show, a great place, beautiful lights, beautiful sound, and a great, great time, man. I love being in Skyrock. I love being around those guys. I miss them during that time, you know? I was real sad. I missed my grandfather, but I got to go be with my friends and make music with the people that I love, which is what I live for, right? And maybe that's what Daisy lives for. Let's talk to her about her debut EP, Doobie-Doo, huh? Let's sit down. Let's talk to Daisy. Let's get down.
Walker, Texas Ranger, in a cheap hotel in Memphis. We were eating cup of noodles. I was wearing your blue underpants, and the lady in the lobby was trying to watch the box TV.
So you go and check in at the Austin Music Foundation?
I do, yeah.
Do you go and talk to them about?
I basically hang
career
out.
Career plans?
Yeah, I hang out with Alex and we brainstorm what I should be working on. There's so many things to focus on.
This day and age, do you have any sort of team in place? Or is it just Daisy Inc.?
It's Daisy. I mean, I have friends who've helped me get to where I am, and I have people who believe in me who want to, like, kind of start forming street team kind of people in different cities helping me get stuff going, but it's slow going. I'm brand new to this. I did social work for years.
I saw that.
Yeah, so this is a totally new adventure for me.
So are you just, like, full-time in it?
I wish. I actually spent 6 hours cleaning houses and changed my clothes and came here to see you.
Oh, really?
So I clean houses 4 or 5 days a week. I'm also pet sitting for 4 different people this week.
I think that would be a that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm hustling.
Do you do dog walking and stuff?
When people need me to. It's not something I do every week, but I just got back last night from my Seattle and Washington State tour.
Right.
I'm like hitting the ground running, pet sitting like crazy this week. And it's like when it rains, it pours, and it's mostly just friends and people I know who need help and kick me a little cash for it.
It's pretty cool.
I enjoy doing it. Yeah.
It's cool that we live in that kind of community where that is, people don't laugh at us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. We're lucky.
We're really lucky.
You think other towns have that? Yeah, they do. They have a community of those kind of people. But here it's a little bit more, everyone lives next door to somebody that's in a band.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. Everybody knows people that are everyday rock stars of some kind or another.
How was your trip to Washington?
It was amazing. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Washington was so good to me. I sold all my CDs that I brought with me. The shows were packed. You could have heard a pin drop. I mean, it was quiet. People were there to, like, listen to the Daisy.
Is it just you?
It's just me.
You call yourself the Daisy.
Daisy. Awesome. I know. Sorry. I picked that up from a friend.
No, that's awesome. I think that's funny. And good.
Good.
And not funny like I'm laughing at you. Funny like that's a good, I admire that.
Oh, thank you.
I refer to my apartment as Johnson Manor because my name's Johnny.
Lovely.
And it sounds official.
It's good to name your place.
How many shows did you do?
I only did 3 shows. I went back for a weekend warrior tour, you know?
Okay.
Stopped cleaning houses Wednesday afternoon, hopped on a plane, got back, right back to work. So it's just a quick 3 nights, 1 night off.
Before we get into the music, I will say that cleaning houses is one of those kind of cool jobs where if you wanted to, you could listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. you could listen to music, kind of think about stuff that you need mm-hmm. to do.
It's a great job.
Plan. Mm-hmm. Those are good makeup songs.
I mostly make up songs. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time listening to stuff unless there's something I'm really jonesing for. I usually just kind of am in my own little space, kind of goes in and see what comes up, and sometimes I'll write a little song. Sometimes they're there, which I like. I like them, but
both sides.
I think so too. We're kind of under each other's feet, but if that's their choice, they're the client.
Yeah,
and some of them are just the coolest people ever. They come to my shows, they buy my albums. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah, really sweet folks here in Austin.
You're not scared to work.
No.
You grew up on a farm, so yeah. I'm sure you grew up just working.
Yeah.
There's people that don't, I mean, I'm not scared of that. I don't think that, oh, it's like, you know, I would, you know what I mean? And especially this day and age, it's so hard to make money playing music, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's one of the first things people always ask me is, so you're doing this full time? That's what you do for a living? And kind of shocked amazement. I'm like, well, maybe someday, hopefully.
Well, your album, I will say, it is professional, and you're, you know what I mean? Like, you look at it, and it looks like, it sounds, and that sounds so weird. It sounds like an album.
It is,
you know,
an album.
Not like some girl made an album that cleans houses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I didn't even want to talk about cleaning houses, because I was afraid people, will be hearing me, though.
This is getting real.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a weird place to start, but they're going to hear the music before this if they don't know you, and then they're mm-hmm. going to be like, wow, shit, that, you know, some people do Kickstarter, some people, you know what I mean, everyone's got some kind of hustle going on.
Totally.
And you've got one, I've got one.
Yep.
So let's talk about this album, or right, you know what, let's go back to this Washington farm thing.
Okay,
let's start there.
Okay, well, I grew up in Washington State on a quirky little farm. It's 10 acres, and it's bright blue, and it's right on the state highway. And everybody always stops by wanting to take pictures of all the goofy stuff and the animals. So the album cover
What do you mean, what kind of animals?
Okay, growing up, we had a flock of sheep, we had goats, we had a bunch of llamas. We would always have a random cow, usually a unique breed, like Scottish Highland or something crazy. My mom has mental health problems, and one of her ways that she kind of copes with life is by hoarding animals. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but it is absolutely the truth, and everyone around her knows it. She'll go on a bunny kick, and she'll get bunnies, and I'll have babies, and all of a sudden you got 40 bunnies. And the same thing with guinea pigs. So I grew up on this kind of crazy farm, and my parents are very, very, very Catholic. Like, not like normal Catholic, like we go to church on Sunday, but we, like, you know, still vote for Obama or whatever. Like, they're like hardcore right wing, like fundamentalist, basically. They kind of wish it was still like Mass was in Latin and, you know, that kind of thing.
Serious.
Yeah.
Wednesday goers, they go on Wednesday.
Wednesday and Friday generally. Yeah. So yeah, daily Mass was a big part of things, praying the rosary. We didn't really have TV, except we got the Catholic station, which was like Mass every day, and you could pray the rosary with the nuns and like
that. Is that different than like televangelist station, the Catholic station?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
24/7. Guilt TV.
Exactly.
You've sinned.
You're a bad person. Here's why.
So where are you at with that? Did you give up something for Lent?
I didn't. I'm not practicing at this point.
My family's Latin and Catholic. So that's a different, I think it's a different kind, like crying, walking, you know, rosary.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to like a regular, like a Protestant, like this good times kind of church, like where the guy has one of those headset mics? They're like, all right, everyone, they have a band. You guys ready to party with Jesus?
Crazy. Yeah, I've been to those.
I can't get into that. Like, I need, growing up going to Catholic church, I need some kind of serious shit going on. Hey, you got to be quiet. You got to sit down, kneel, stand, sit.
Listen.
Read.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sing along with the songs. Nothing's happy sounding. Yeah. All just really sad sounding. All the photos, like the whole, always like the crucifixion scene going along the side of the wall.
Yeah, Jesus is dying all around you. Yep. There's a big old cross with Jesus hanging naked in front of you.
So, like, what did were you allowed to listen to, like, rock music, or were they, like, anti?
They were anti pretty much everything modern culture. I was pretty much raised like it was the 1960s and, like, out on a farm. My parents did allow me to listen to the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Elvis and, like, oldies station stuff because they thought that was, like, clean cut.
Still good.
Yeah, and I grew up watching a lot of musicals like Easter Parade and Meet Me in St. Louis, Hello Dolly. Those were, like, my favorite things.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a pretty weird upbringing, and I didn't really know anything different until I went to college when I was 16. And that really opened up my eyes.
You went at 16 because you were smart?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that I was smart. I had no idea I'd been homeschooled, but I just knew.
Jesus, so you didn't even go to school?
Yeah, I didn't go to school. I was home with these people, my parents, on the farm.
This is great. I'm so glad that you came to my house to have this conversation. This is amazing. So did you? Okay, so, like, you didn't have a boyfriend? And
no.
You didn't wear clothes that were remotely
happening? No, actually, it's strange. I realized this retrospectively, but there was a lot of sexual abuse surrounding me in the neighborhood specifically, and I didn't really know what sex was until I was like 14, 15, but I remember distinctly when I was like 12-ish and my body started changing, I started wearing boys' clothes, like baggy shirts, like baggy Christian shirts and baggy pants, because I noticed the attention I was getting. I didn't really know what it meant, but it creeped me out. So, yeah, most of the girls around me were dressed kind of, you know, butch farm girl. And if a girl, like, let her midriff show, a boy at the church would, you know, send her a nice note, like, please, you're tempting me, don't, you know, please cover up, think about your brothers in Christ, that kind of thing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that was your community, not school. Like, the kids that you hung out with were kids that you met in church, were the kids that you grew up with the whole time?
I mean, it was, my peer group was mainly my neighbors who were also homeschooled, a couple different families, and they were all Protestant. So that was where my experience came in, going to Lutheran church or going to the different, you know, non-denominational churches.
So hey, guys, let's party with Jesus.
Yeah.
You guys ready to party with Jesus?
Yeah. Rock out with Jesus. I was big into Christian rock when I was like 14 to 16. I went to all the, like, super nerdy music festival. There's like 20,000 kids that are like, Lord, I lift your name on high. Yeah. I went to that. That was my jam. I was like into Christian ska and like kind of the more hardcore stuff. I wore like big metal necklaces. I tried to look like a punk.
Christian ska.
Yeah, it was weird.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I had an engineer that had Christian ska on. I know, on cue to just pull up so the people would feel.
We'll find
and
some.
I can hear. Okay.
Yeah.
So did you sell sheep?
Yeah.
To get a guitar?
I did. That was what I did when I was like 13 to 16. I would raise a sheep or two every year and sell it at the county fair. And you'd get a pretty decent, you know, you could get like $500-$600 for a sheep.
No shit.
So, yeah, that's how I got my first two guitars that I had for years. And just kind of taught myself.
They were acoustic because you're a folk person. You categorize yourself as folk?
I do now. But back then, I had no idea. And I'm still like open to
Christian
whatever.
Ska.
But yeah, I would think I'll probably end up with Christian ska. For now, I'm doing folk. No, but back then, I got an acoustic guitar. And then the next summer, I got an electric. I still have the electric. I never play it because it's kind of boring to me because I don't know how to rock out on it.
Okay.
Yet. Okay. I'm going to learn someday.
So you graduated early, 16, and then...
There was no graduation.
No graduation. Like, you just finished.
I was just like, it's time to go out there and do the things and learn. So I went to the community college and graduated right before I turned 18 with honors, you know, straight A's, honors program, Phi Theta Kappa, in charge of a bunch of different clubs, student body, all that stuff. So I got super involved.
Let me ask you this, though. When you got in, like, socially, like, what did you do? Did you get in there and just freak out, like, no more Christian this, like, you're listening to, like, Black Sabbath?
No, it wasn't immediate at all. The first few years when I was at the community college, I was still living with my parents, and I was still very religious and going to church. But something started happening where a lot of my closest friends started coming out to me, and there was some controversy on campus relating to LGBT stuff. So I started realizing, wow, gay people exist, and they're actually my friends, and they're not like these bad, crazy people that I'd always been told. And that really rocked the foundation of the Catholic Church for me, as it had been presented to me as kind of this all or nothing. Like, you believe all of this stuff the church says, or else you're not part of it. So when I was 18, I finally realized, like, this is not who I am at all. And I actually had to go all the way to Texas to figure that out. I got accepted to University of Dallas, which is one of the most fundamentalist, hardcore Catholic universities in the United States. I went there, and I just realized, man, this is not me. I'm not anything like these people. I totally didn't fit in. They all were kind of legacy, well-off kind of kids from good families. I was on scholarship, you know, but they all, like, their parents went there, and their siblings all went there, and they all kind of thought the same, and I just wasn't like that anymore. So I came back to Washington, started going to the public university there to finish up, and stopped going to church.
Just like that, it evaporated.
Yeah, well,
did you have to confront your parents about it? I mean, did you have to say, like, hey, this is what's going on, and they flipped out?
They didn't flip out. I basically had to call them and say, hey, I'm leaving this school, I'm coming back, and I'm not going to church anymore. Can I still stay with you? They were like, come home. So I did. I stayed with them for about 6 months, and it was not pleasant. And then I got out of there.
They were just like, what was your thing then? What was your plan?
My plan was to get my 4-year degree. I didn't really know in what. So I just was kind of floundering, hanging out with my gay friends who were really like my community at that point. I just felt like such an outcast. And they were like, hey, join the group. You know, we all don't fit in either. So that was kind of my scene. And my parents started freaking out because why am I hanging out with these people that are sick? And then I realized I had a crush on a girl at school. And I was like, oh, man, I was kind of like, that's cool. I'm not like, that doesn't weird me out at that point. But my parents kind of shook it out of me, like, why are you hanging out with these freaks? You're normal. And I was like, well, I'm kind of one of them. And we'd never talked about it since. Like, they can't handle it.
Are they going to listen to this podcast?
I don't think so. They don't really use the computer. My mom.
I'm sorry, that just sounded funny the way you said that.
It's true, though.
Yep. Wow, that is intense, Daisy.
That's why I go to therapy.
Yeah. That's why we all go. Everyone has their. I love that you can. Music pulled you out of stuff, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Helped you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Say what you were going to say.
I was just going to say I found so much healing through music.
Right. And so during this time, the college time, mm-hmm. and going back in Dallas, and then going back up to
Washington.
To Washington.
Yeah.
Were you playing gigs? Were you?
Mm-mm. No, I'd only played.
Kind of playing guitar, kind of in your room?
I mostly played when I was in 16, 17-ish. I played with friends. We had a little Christian band before, you know, I stopped going to church, and right. We played at church and such. And then afterwards, it was kind of like the reason I'd started playing songs was to learn praise and worship songs and to, you know, provide music at church. So once that was no longer something that was of value to me,
right.
I didn't really play that much. Like, I had a few songs I would play, but I just got into this dark hole of depression, basically, and everything besides school and work, because I was broke. I mean, no support from my family. They're broke anyways. Living on, you know, the money that I could scrounge together, paying for school myself, paying for everything. So there wasn't really, I know it's weird to say, but there wasn't really time/energy for music. It just slipped out of my life completely, and I was really down for a long time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you get your shit together.
Yeah.
In
I got my shit together.
In the 6 months that you're staying with your parents, and then where'd you go?
I lived in Bellingham, Washington, which is like a little, it's about 20 miles away from where my parents live. So it's the big city, you know, 70,000 people, university. Wow. It's actually liberal there as opposed to the town where I'm from.
Did you go crazy then? I want the
crazy story. I went a little bit crazy.
Okay, well, what happened?
What did happen?
Did you drink and like do drugs and like take ecstasy and go to raves? Was it in the time of raves?
Yes and no. Okay. I did go a little crazy.
Okay.
But not in the way that a lot of people do, I think. I kept it somewhat clean. But I lived in this house with all my gay friends and we'd have big parties. And I didn't like do a lot of drugs. I like smoke pot. It's a Washington thing. A lot of people smoke a lot of pot up there. Smoked a lot of pot. And I went to Burning Man a few times, and that was really a turning point for me. I've never done acid or ecstasy or any of that. I like just go to get my mind expanded by the craziness and the community and just all the
What happens there? I've never been there.
Oh, my God. It's this huge art festival that's out in the middle of the desert. All these crazy artists and like people that work desk jobs. A lot of them are like high tech people of some kind or another. And just different creative types that descend upon this old desert lake that used to be a lake bed. And now it's just all like flat.
Oh, so it's in a designated place.
Yeah. It's called the Black Rock Desert in Nevada.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been there several times, and that was where the name Daisy came into play and became part of my life. It's not the name that I was born with.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
I think that's pretty cool because you can assume character that goes on and is that person.
Yeah. I feel like my birth name is my slave name. Like when my parents call me that, I'm like, who is that person?
That is awesome.
And my friends have said that too. They're like, that's your slave name. We're never going to call you that.
No. So you go to school, you finish the schooling,
yep.
And then you got a job in social work?
Yeah. I'd been a process server actually, delivering legal paperwork out in the country to crazy people for years while I was in college. So I was like, get me out of here. And I started volunteering at the domestic violence shelter my senior year of college. Because a friend managed it and just ended up really enjoying that work and ended up working there for a couple of years and then transitioning and working at a treatment facility for teenage girls who were addicted to drugs and alcohol, 13, 18 years old, on lockdown for like 6 to 9 months because they'd all committed horrible crimes and had horrible things happen to them and they weren't safe in their hometowns. So they dumped them from all different parts of Washington in the small town where I lived. I worked with them for a year.
Working with them, like hanging out, talking
with
them?
Yeah, like group life stuff. Like everything from hanging out with them right when they get there to like hanging out with them when they're like in the middle of treatment to hanging out with them when they're like phasing back into everyday life and you're like taking them on all kinds of outings all the time. So there were like 30 girls there and I worked all the units.
Was it dangerous? Was it...
They were all like gang, like some of them were like really big gang girls. I was like, man, this girl could totally kick my butt. But none of them really ever did. Like they knew they'd be in way huge trouble if they did and they'd be like smacked back to juvie. So it was a pretty safe job overall.
That's a pretty intense job though, man. I mean,
it's crazy.
Taking you places, you know, psychologically that you might not have ever gone or ever wanted to go.
Exactly. Really. Yeah, it was the same with domestic violence shelters. Just being with people who are this crazy time when they're like, you know, the plug has been pulled from their normal life. Like they are on time out and they're in this weird little environment with all these other people who are in this same crazy type of situation, but with different details. So it was just like nonstop drama and interpersonal relationship stuff. And of course, all the trauma that those people had gone through and like finally looking at it now that they're sober, now that they're in a place where they're not allowed to use drugs and alcohol.
Through God, still, that must have just been not a lot of time for writing songs. And
no, I started writing during that time again, and I wrote some songs. I really like writing songs about girls and women. So I wrote a few songs for some of the girls, just like thinking about, like, oh man, that girl seems like she doesn't have a soul, and like writing a song about the soulless girl, or like just crazy, weird little,
wow,
you know, spins on what I was observing from these characters.
You ever wonder what happened to some of them? Like, I'm sure you got attached to some of them.
I do wonder. And then some of them, I would hear the stories back, and I'd be like, oh, man. Like, sad.
Yeah, because I'm sure you developed this hope, you know?
Yeah, well, you see the light in somebody.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why I'm a good person for social work and for a lot of things. It's because I'm good at, like, finding the light in other people and bringing it out. But then there's that point where I have to accept, like, they have to choose whether they're going to continue that. I don't have any control over anybody else.
You know what you'd be great at Burning Man?
What?
Like when people are having bad drug trips.
I know. I thought about that.
You could make
that.
Some extra money. Seriously, like, hey, you freaking
It's all
you
volunteer,
20 bucks,
though.
I'll make you feel better.
It's all volunteer at Burning Man.
Because it's like a hippie situation.
Yeah, there's no money exchange. Everybody who's there is there helping out. Like, I went and ran a tea house with my friends last time I went out there. It's like, it was kind of like that. When you're, like, burnt out, you could just, like, come rejuvenate. We had a little altar with a Buddha and with, like, tarot cards and inspirational books. We'd make them tea and, like, hang out. So I think I already kind of did that at Burning Man.
Yeah. And so that's when you were going there? When you were doing the...
Mm-hmm. It was a weird life. Like, I wouldn't tell my bosses. Because after I quit working at the juvenile treatment facility, I started working a somewhat high-profile job in my community, working in a local domestic violence and sexual assault resource center and a place where people would go when they were victimized by those crimes. So we had a domestic violence shelter. We had a community-wide program, which I ran, which involved going into all the schools in seven different school districts, talking to the kids about healthy relationships and healthy sexuality, which in small country towns is a really awkward but awesome responsibility. So I did that. And then on the side, I'm like going to Burning Man and doing all these things I can't tell anybody else about.
Right. Well, when you say responsible sexuality, is that what you said?
Healthy sexuality.
Healthy sexuality. Maybe. Tell me that. What is that?
Man, we like talk about boundaries, you know? You talk about communication. Just like talking to people about where you're at or what's good for you, or like, I don't know, talking about STDs, talking about whatever needs to be talked about, or just making sure that you're like on the same page.
Did kids ask questions, or were they zoned out, or once you talked about sex, they were totally into
it? Kids were usually, it was weird. That was when I realized I needed to do something different with my life, because kids really would perk up when I started talking. Like, it'd be 7:30 a.m., high school starts so early, and I'd be in there, and the kids are all like kind of passed on their desks, and I'd be like, hey, everybody, blah, 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 blah. And they're all just like, who is this freak? You know, I'm totally different than anyone they'd probably ever seen before and talking about something they probably never heard about in that class.
Even though I think that's like clothes and stuff like that, it's not like it used to be. Like when I was a kid, there was no internet and there was kind of a nationalized stuff, but it was still, you know what I mean? People in the country wore Wranglers and boots and, you know, those weird kind of shirts. Still, you know what I mean?
There are still people that dress like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and were you dressed like somebody that had gone through the hip machine and hung out with the LGBT party?
Maybe. I think I just kind of looked like a nerdy social worker, but a little bit hipper than others.
Right.
I didn't try to like look alternative. I kind of tried, like I had longer hair. I tried to blend, but people, it was like out in the country,
really,
but people weren't all country.
You don't seem like a blender.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you seem to stand out a little bit.
I do now.
You do now?
Yeah.
I don't mean just like you have like a sunny vibe.
Oh, thanks.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I realized when I was in those classrooms. I realized that I was offering something to these kids that they needed and that people need. Like, people want something from me. I have gifts to share. And I didn't want it to be like, condoms. I didn't really want to be talking about, you know, sexual abuse versus sexual, like, healthy relationships. I didn't want to be talking about rape. Like, there are a couple schools I go into and they'd be like, the rape lady's here. I was like, yep, I'm the lady that talks about
the rape lady.
Yeah, the rape lady. I'm the one that talks about what rape is, because people don't know. They think it's like somebody breaks into a house and they hold someone down.
Right, exactly,
and it's like,
exactly.
it's usually people that know each other often that are in a relationship together. And that makes it really hard to talk about.
That does make it hard to talk about. That's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
It is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Sex is an elusive stranger.
Mm-hmm. Let's just leave
That's
it at that.
No. I'm sorry.
You need to stop talking about drugs on our show.
So you got it together, and you said, "I'm going to get out of here."
Yeah,
you'd saved up some money or something.
Here's what happened.
Tell me a story.
One of my best friends, folk singer by the name of Shawnee Kilgore, ended up in Austin, Texas. She went on this epic road trip, left our small little hometown, ended up here.
Right.
And I had a week off. So I was like, well, I've never been to Austin. I'll go check it out. I'm a social worker. I can fly where I want and have a little vacation.
Yeah.
I came here, and I kid you not, within 10 minutes, I knew I was coming here to move. Like, I knew that
this is it. Yeah.
Yep. They picked me up at the airport. There's all the guitars at the baggage claim.
You know?
I was like, this place is groovy. And then they took me straight to Flipnotics to see friends play. I was like, oh man, took me downtown on a rooftop to hear more music. I was just like, this town is amazing. And the best part was that for the first time in like, it was June. So it's still cold in Washington in June. For the first time in like 10 months, I'm warm.
Yeah, you were warm.
I was like, man, it was like 100 degrees. I felt great. So I went back to Washington, worked my way out of my job, spent about 3 months with that transition, went back to Burning Man, and then after Burning Man, headed this way.
Oh, you didn't go back. You just kept on coming this way.
I did go back, but that was like one of the things where it was like one of the last hurrahs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go do Burning Man.
Go pack up.
Pack up.
Yep. Head out.
Yep. Head east.
Yep. Southeast. 3,333 miles.
Wow.
Was what the maps on the internet said.
Jeez. So how long ago was that when you moved here?
I arrived in November of 2011.
Okay.
I think. Jeez. That's a little while ago. But I've been back and forth some. I spent 5 months on the road, mostly up in the Northwest a couple summers ago. So
okay.
There's been some back and forth.
So you came here, when you came here, you weren't just moving here to get back into social work. You were going to play music.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm getting out of it.
Yeah.
This has been exhausting. I need to flip this coin.
Well, something magical happened when I was in Bellingham doing the social work thing. I was at a potluck with my friends and somebody handed me a guitar. And I started playing a song, and they were like, what? We've known you for years. You can sing and play guitar? I was like, I guess so. So all of a sudden, got a little band with my girls, you know, cello, fiddle, mandolin, guitar, and we're playing gigs. And we opened for Gregory Alan Isakoff, who's one of my favorite songwriters, and he was super positive and encouraging. And my friends are my favorite people, but they're married. They have mortgages, husbands, and kids, and man, I'm single. I'm mobile. I wanted to hit the road and see what happened. So I started like feverishly writing songs. I wrote 30 songs in 30 days a couple times during that period just because I was like, I don't have any songs. I want to like learn how to do this and just dive in and do it and suck at it for a while and get better and just do it. So that's
what I did.
Fuck
yeah, man. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good, man.
It's a little embarrassing.
It paid off. You're really good.
Yeah, now I am. It's a little embarrassing, though, because, of course, I was posting all that stuff on the internet. So there's, I think, still a lot of friends that are like, oh, Daisy.
What do you mean, your music?
Yeah, back then? When I was like, I'm doing 30 songs in 30 days. If you want to hear it all is on SoundCloud. And so it's since been deleted, but, you know.
Well, hey, you know what? That's it. That's art. It's there.
It's art.
It came
out
of you. It's there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all
good.
Beats
the hell out of people that weren't writing 30 songs in 30 days.
Right. True that.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I learned how to do it. And then as soon as I got to Austin, Gregory Alan Isakoff, I met up with him in Boulder. He's amazing. You should look up his music. It's so good.
He sounds like a science fiction writer.
He's a singer-songwriter out of Boulder, Colorado, and he's delightful. His music changed my life. The first house concert I ever went to, I didn't listen to music, like, during my social work time. I wasn't, like, a big music fan. I didn't really go to shows. I was just, like, working really hard. I was on call, crisis response in the middle of the night, like, all this stuff. A friend dragged me to this house show. This guy's in town. He's amazing. I'm just sitting there on the couch, like, grumpy. I don't want to be there. And Gregory starts singing. And something just shifted in my whole entire being. I can't remember a single line he said. I can't remember a single song from that night. But the entire experience just completely overwhelmed my entire, like, all my senses, and I've never been the same since then. Like, I started listening to him every day, and his music became a huge part of my life. And then meeting him, you know, he's become a friend of mine, and he's connected me with his writing friends here in town who've helped me really figure out what I'm doing.
Who are those guys?
Jay Wagner, Mark Brenton, Ron Scott. Basically, our friend Jay Wagner, Johan is his actual name, but his stage name is Jay Wagner. He co-writes with Gregory. They've written a lot of songs that a lot of people love that have been placed on different TV shows like Californication. Johan lives here, and he runs a songwriter's retreat out in far west Texas, out past Marfa, out by the border in Mexico. So I get into Austin in November 2011, and Gregory had said, look this guy up when you get to town. So I get to town, I'm on Facebook, I send him a message, like, this guy's never, ever going to respond to me, but whatever, I'm sending it. He gets right back to me. He's like, let's meet at Bolden tomorrow and get coffee. I was like, no way. So immediately, we're friends. And the next thing I know, I'm in a car driving 10 hours west to go to his songwriter retreat.
You're just doing it.
Yeah. Just
both feet.
Right on time.
Yeah, head first.
Head
Is it
first.
Both feet? Or head first?
I think it's all of it.
You just jumped.
All in. Yeah.
Yeah, all in. That's awesome. That is awesome. Hey, when you said that guy goes by Jay, but his name's Johan.
Yeah.
What was this guy's name? There was a guy that I met in like the late 80s that was this Italian guy named like something like a Stefano Cantini or something like that. You know what I mean? He had a real cool name.
Yeah.
But he professionally in music, he went by Keith J. Adams.
You're like,
'cause he
why?
Thought it sounded so American. But
no.
Keith J. Adams. Like just
Keith
a J, J. Not J A Y like your friend, but J.
Keith J. Adams.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's oh,
what a cool
oh everyone's
guy.
Gonna totally think you're American now.
People are gonna love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Why do guys do that?
I don't know.
Oh well you don't have to say your name. I don't think you should ever say your real name.
Oh, ever?
Slave name.
My slave name. It's a mystery.
So you go out, you write songs with that. So how did you meet Poltz and write with him? Where did that happen?
I saw him at Folk Alliance in 2012.
Okay, so you came in, you immersed yourself in
I
music,
just dove
got in the scene,
right in.
Went to the West Texas songwriting
Came back, went to Folk Alliance.
Went to Folk Alliance.
Yeah, I was checking it all out.
You're doing it all.
Started going to Kerrville, like all the different folk festivals I could go to. I just started going on weekends and checking things out just to see what's going on. I ended up in one of those hotel hangs, like 5 a.m., and I saw Poltz across the room, and he was the only person in the room dancing, like a crazy person, and I was like, that's always my social role. And I was like, oh, he's probably fucked up. He's probably high. As I'm always like the sober one that's dancing like a crazy person, and everyone's dude, you're tripping. Yeah. What are you tripping on? And I'm dude, I'm high on life. They're like, no, really, what are you tripping on? I'm like, dude, I'm high on life. So anyways, I got to know him during South by Southwest. I ended up at one of his shows randomly. It was this huge showcase at Whippin called The Greatest Open Mic in America, hosted by our friend Andrew Pressman. And it was like we'd already known each other forever. We just like started talking. It was like, it was really cool. It's like I found this family member amongst this whole sea of awesome folk friends. But like somehow we have a really similar energy. Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
Isn't he great?
Both as a musician. I realized I wrote this down. I was looking at our correspondence, and you wrote me a year ago and told me that you were listening to the Poltz
podcast. I did listen to it. That's how I knew who you were.
And that's how,
yeah.
It's a small world. But I reached out to you for this interview, right?
You did.
You didn't reach out.
Thank
I heard
you.
That song. How did I hear it?
Oh, maybe I did reach out to you. I saw you at a fundraiser of some kind of benefit at Strange Brew, and I gave you my CD, I think. Or maybe I just gave you my card and was like, this is who I am. Somehow, something like that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at the Matt McCormick benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good time.
I couldn't stay. I'd played right before it and I had to go to another gig.
Right. I saw you play and I liked you and then we talked and that's how the whole thing came about.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Full circle.
Full circle. Okay. So let's talk about Doobie Doo.
Doobie Doo. What do you want to know about Doobie Doo? Johnny?
How did you record it? What is it? Let's get into the meat of that. See, we got
the meat of the recording.
We got the
process.
How did I get here part of it, and now is the here I am.
Here I am.
Baby.
So, a year ago, a little over a year ago, I realized I cannot do this alone. I am cleaning houses. I'm broke all the time. I'm never going to like raise all the money I need to make an album that's good. Like, it just wasn't falling together. So I wrote this huge grant proposal, like, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is the vision, and sent it to some people I know who might be able to help. And money started coming in, and all of a sudden, I was able to afford to work with the producer that I wanted to work with.
Which was?
His name is Daniel Barrett at Rubicon Artist Development in South Austin. And he's produced some of my friends, particularly Lizzie Lehman. I just loved the way her album turned out. I've known her for a while. I met her at the Crooked Crow Songwriters Retreat. And her album just sounded...
That's what that thing is?
Yep, the thing in West Texas. And it just sounded like her, but like so good and so pure, and like got to the heart of who she was and what she was communicating at that point in her journey. And he's really good at helping people get real and communicate their souls, you know, through music. And go.
So he goes, it's a producer, he gets into the song with you and like, hey, this lyrics, what are you saying?
Kind of. He more so takes you on a journey where it's like personal development type of stuff. Like, what's your vision? Why are you doing this? Like, asking kind of the probing, uncomfortable questions that get you to be really honest with yourself and why this is part of your purpose. Like,
why were you doing
why
it?
Why music? Man, I think I'm still figuring out. I think for me and for a lot of people, it's a healing journey. You have to do
me
it.
Too.
And I didn't exactly know why. And now when I listen to it, it's almost like I'm healing more by listening to it. I listen to this album pretty much every day. I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a great, that's a great thing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's
so. Who all played on it? I don't think you gave me a copy. I bought it on iTunes today.
Oh, no.
Swear to God.
Kidding. That's amazing. I'll give you a hard copy if you want it. But
I would like one.
Yeah. It was just Dan and I. We did all
them. Just the two of you guys?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great.
Pretty much. He has a young boy with Asperger's or maybe autism. He coaches him. He teaches him piano once a week, and he had him do the piano track on Doobie-Doo.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's the only person aside from us that really touched it.
So, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal, I think. I mean, it's very imperfect. It's stripped down. It's just what I wanted it to be. It feels honest, too, because I'm not some virtuoso musician. I can't read music. I've never had a guitar lesson. I taught myself how to play hiding away in the attic where I grew up, you know, like freezing my butt off, but like bored and needing something to do.
Hiding from Jesus and your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, my new phone's ringing.
Hey, that's great.
Hey, that's great. Just ruined the interview.
You didn't ruin it.
No, I'm just joking.
It's a special moment.
So it came out this week, the week that we're doing this interview. This interview will come out later on. Do you have any plans to go on the road outside of the Washington to tour? What's going on? What's the next step for Doobie-Doo?
I want to be on the road. That's for sure.
It's hard to do it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I don't want to quit my job until I've lifted myself to the position where I'm able to actually get good paid gigs. So when I went back to Washington, I, you know, had built enough of a following that I'm able to get decent gigs there, and I made money on it. But that's not a given if I'm trying to do a huge tour across the United States. So right now my focus is... Hi, kitty.
My neighbor's cat.
I love cats.
The cat really wants to come in.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal, you can't come in, man.
Cats love me. I love
cats. We're doing
cats.
A podcast here, cat.
Meow.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we? Jeez. Oh, I do want to be on the road. That's my ultimate goal. Like, I love traveling. I love touring. I love being out there. I want to see the world.
Right.
This is like my small town girl thing. I'm like, if I, you know, can make music that people like and can share my light and can go out there and do it and have something to give people that they want when I go to every town, I would love to do that. But I'm not going to just go from town to town like, hey, I promise I'm good. And people are like, we don't know who you are and we don't care.
Right.
Like, I want it to be something where I raise, you know, I get to that point where people actually...
Know who you are.
Know who I am.
Yeah.
So... Fingers and toes crossed.
Yeah.
I'm really planning on working hard on the Austin and the Texas scene and starting to play a lot more here because I haven't played that much till recently.
Okay.
So this is my coming out party.
Are you having a release show?
I am.
Where's that?
May 10th at Strange Brew.
Oh, May 10th at Strange Brew.
Yeah.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Sorry, I'm writing it down because I will talk about it in the thing. I think this will come out before then.
Right on. That'd be amazing.
7 p.m.
Yep.
And you go by just Daisy?
Just Daisy.
You said like a one-word name?
Yeah. I feel like it's just easier that way.
Is it?
I don't know if it is. I might totally regret this, but
no, I think it's cool.
I don't think there's really another Daisy that's just going by Daisy. It works for Cher, Adele, Jewel. Who else? Other cool people.
That people can find you at daisydoobydoo.com.
Yeah, daisydoobydoo.com.
Doobydoo.
Doobydoo.
Do you, what do you listen to? Daisy.
Mm. Well, I love listening to Gregory Alan Isaacoff so much. I mentioned that.
I know.
I love him so much. I would go to his shows every time I can.
I hope he listens to this show.
I hope he does,
too. Because he's got a fan
of
you.
Yeah. Oh, he knows that. I'm possibly a stalker also. I love Laura Mavula also. She's actually playing at the Parish tonight, which will not be tonight when we all air this.
No. But I just talked to Elizabeth McQueen on the phone before
Elizabeth's
you came here.
Yeah, opening for her.
And Elizabeth's
opening
for her.
Are you coming to the show?
I'm not.
Oh, man, Johnny.
When is it? Tonight?
The doors are at 8.
Elizabeth's at 9?
I think so.
Laura? Mm-hmm.
Laura's probably at 10.
Why aren't I going to go?
You should come.
I'm on drugs and I feel my face is sore.
Oh, that's right. He had his teeth worked on.
Yeah, weeks ago, though. Because I did the intro for tomorrow's show today. This is so confusing. Anyway, time is not my master. Okay. It's not yours. So, you're listening to, what's her name? Laura?
Laura Mavula.
Mavula.
I love her.
Now, she's like, folk as well. I mean,
she's
Elizabeth
like
said
soul
she went to.
Folk.
Did Elizabeth go to Folk Alliance?
Yeah. Yeah, Elizabeth was there.
She was there.
We hung out.
She's a cool one.
She's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Elizabeth.
Who else was there that we would know?
Well, Pultz was there.
Of course.
We actually hung out in his room. Like, he hosted a room.
So oh, he
did? So
it
was like the hang.
Yeah.
And then our friends, the Shook Twins, were there. Love them so much. Pultz is actually on tour with them right now. Who else would you know, though? Betty Sue was there.
Oh, yeah, I like her. She's been on the show. Yeah.
I love Betty Sue. Man, there were so many people there. Haliana was there. Raina Rose was there. Beautiful.
So is that what you listen? Is that your world musically?
Yeah, kind of the folk country scene in general.
Right,
but
country.
I don't. I love to listen to KUTX. I listen to KDRP. I'm trying to learn
it's
KDRP. Sun Radio. It's like the Texas country music.
That's a good station.
I feel like I'm educating myself, to be honest. Like, I have this huge gap in musical knowledge where it's like, I know most
the
Beatles songs.
Yeah.
I know, like, show tunes, but I don't really know much modern music. Like, I've been listening to, like, Leonard Cohen the past few years, just being like, I've never listened to Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan, like, trying to catch up with what has happened. And I love Rufus Wainwright so much.
Oh,
also,
me too,
he's one of my top favorites.
Yeah. I love him.
He's so good.
Have you ever seen him?
Not yet.
I saw him. He's really good.
Oh, Rufus.
What else? Do you like, okay, here's a question I like to ask people. What do you like best? Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram?
Instagram.
Because it's easy. It's fun.
It's so fun.
Do you have fun with it? Do you have fun with that part?
I do.
Because it is a burden. And there was a time Janice Ian. Or someone like, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
That's so weird. She was a folk lady. I was going back for
I'm
you.
I'm homeschooled.
We didn't
listen to folk.
She sang that at 17, I learned the truth, or whatever, you know? I learned the truth at 17.
What is she? Oh, I know.
Love is meant for beauty queens. Yeah.
Yeah. Do.
I get it confused with Girl from Ipanema when I'm singing into my head. Na, 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 na. It's the same thing to me.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Instagram. I love Instagram was the answer.
Yeah.
I started doing it really avidly right after I moved to Austin, and I just kind of did it. I didn't use any hashtags. I didn't really make any friends other than like the 200 people from Facebook who'd found me who are my friends already. Mm-hmm. And then something happened about a year and a half ago when I started making this album. Something shifted, and I started trending, and now I have inching closer to 2,000 followers.
No way.
So, yeah.
That's wicked.
Yeah, it's great. It's
so you have a good audience. There's people out there that were waiting for this album to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was what I realized. I realized if I make this album and nobody knows who I am, like, nobody's going to give a fuck, you know? It's not going to go anywhere. So I was like, man, I need to start sharing what I'm doing and, you know, connecting with people and connecting with people who like the same kind of music as me. Like, I'll search different artists I love. Like, I love Kacey Musgraves and I love Gregory. I'll search and I'll interact with their fans because we love the same stuff. And yeah, it's like, well, if they love that and they're curious, maybe they'll end up liking my music.
Did I see Kacey? I saw Kacey Musgraves on the American Music Awards or mm-hmm. on the Grammys?
Both, I think. She's been Grammys. On all the awards yeah. lately. All the awards.
She was
shows.
Good.
Yeah, she's good. I saw her at ACL Live. Her band's real flashy.
What is that?
They got like
guys.
Like glittery outfits yeah. and like it's very Western but like kitsch. It's interesting. Like her songs are so like three chords and the truth, like badass songs about like real shit that matters, like life in the country, and like she writes from the perspective of like she's just one of the people that lives in the country, you know, she's not any better than any of them. So it's her observations of small town Texas life, but here it is, you know, now she's won a Grammy and she's on a label, and it's like she's singing this super profound song but in a super goofy outfit yeah. So it's almost like I think people maybe tune out the message sometimes. Like I had friends who were watching the same song with me. And I was like, I love the song. And they're like, they didn't even care to listen to it. It just looked too goofy.
She looked too goofy, yeah.
And that made me sad because I respect her so much.
It's easy to write stuff off when you just see it like that. It happens to me, you know. It's not yeah. until you're in a position, you know. I mean, I guess I've always been like that. But, you know, it's not until people know who you are. And you can see, like, oh, I've seen you play. I don't like your band. And you're like, you know, it sounds devastating to someone that no one's ever said that. But to me, fuck, I say like, that all. I don't say it to people.
Yeah.
I've got manners. But shit, you know, you watch something and you're like, someone like should that. Shoot that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I say stuff like that all the time.
Your
it's
thing.
Not very nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't seem like a big, you seem like a person. You don't seem like a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm totally not. I'm yeah. a lover. I try to stay positive. That doesn't mean I don't get angry. I don't talk shit sometimes because I right. think everybody does.
Of course.
But I don't know. I just want to be a friend to people and be a positive presence in the world and bring people up rather than bringing things down. And like I'll even notice it in the workplace, like working different blue-collar jobs or even like catering jobs or things. A lot of people have a really hard time working. And I'm just able to be like, hey, somebody's paying me to show up and do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to just be positive and do it and yeah. have manners and be polite.
Yeah.
And
why?
Yeah.
Why be a jerk?
Somebody can be rude to me. I'm going to just kill them with kindness and generally they'll come right back around and it'll all be okay. Like, I feel like people so often get pissed off about things and they get angry and then they get angry at other people and then it's this whole spiral of negativity. You could just totally skip that by being nice to people, even when they're dicks.
That's good. Do you tell stories on stage?
I do, yeah.
I want to see you play sometime.
Yeah, you should. Come to Strange Brew if you can. It's going to be
when
real
is it?
Fun.
Saturday something?
Saturday, May 10th at 7 p.m.
Yeah. I play every weekend all
You're
the time.
You're out of town a lot too, aren't
yep.
you?
Yeah. Travel a lot with Skyrocket.
Fun.
We play almost every Friday and Saturday. Occasionally nice. Once every couple of months we'll have a Friday or Saturday off.
That's great.
And then a lot of Thursdays as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's
and then sometimes just regular during the week times. It's been a good month for us. But
righteous.
Anyway, I would like to come see you and experience the Daisy experience.
It will happen.
But people that want to experience the Daisy experience, they can go to daisydoobydoo.com.
Yeah,
Daisy. Find out all the stuff about you. Do you have videos? I didn't see.
I do have a couple videos right on the first page. They're not like videos. It's like me sitting on my porch. But right. my friends came over with professional gear. And it's done right.
And your dates are on there.
Yeah.
And your music.
My shows,
you can play,
my music,
play music.
You can check it out. The music's all up there.
And Doobie Doo is officially available on iTunes.
Uh-huh. On iTunes, on Spotify, all the usual places music can be found.
Is there anything else that I'm missing before we go?
I think that's it.
This was a good conversation, Daisy.
Thank you so much for having me, Johnny. Yeah. This is a real treat.
Yeah, very nice.
So much more to see. So just grab a hold of the reins now, baby, because right now you are free.
Yeah. The great Daisy. Huh? You can find out more about her at daisydoobiedoo.com. Her EP, Doobie Doo, is out and available on iTunes, as is this podcast. You can subscribe to it for free on iTunes. All we ask is that you leave a rating and a comment, because that helps us with our overall rating, which helps us secure advertising to keep this show free for you, the listener. Okay? Thank you so much for listening to this show. Outside of subscribing, you can also go like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter or on Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. All right? I'd like to thank Daisy for coming by again. Let's hear a little bit more music from her debut EP, Doobie Doo. Here's some more Daisy. Let's get down.
Watching Walker, Texas Ranger, in a cheap hotel in Memphis. We were eating cup of noodles. I was wearing your blue underpants, and the lady in the lobby was trying to watch the box TV while she stared at us suspiciously. And you wanted to buy a BB gun, and you said some people like to go to church every Sunday to watch their big TVs. They're riding on a cart to Walmart, praying God will set them free. But there's so much more in this big old world, so so just grab a hold of the reins now, baby, because right now you are free to do, to be, to do be, do be, do be, do be, do be, do be, do. Catholic gypsy roamers, guitars and cars and telephoners. You read me Kafka on your cell phone, wrangle ride and rope me in so strong. Baby, stay the night. Baby, stay the night. Baby, stay. Do and be and do be, do be, do be, do be, do be, do be, do. When we finally checked out of our hotel home, you kissed me hard so everyone would know, and drove your car to San Francisco. And I wanted to go away with you. And I know some people have to go to work on the weekdays. I hope their banks get big. There's traffic lanes, 401k.